Life.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
Succession.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Freedom.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Illusions.
Men.
Men's.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression.
Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Leisure.
Leisure.
Health.
Education.
Focus.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solidarity.
I reached the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good day to our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM, and a global collection of musicians. I'm Jim Hutchings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mona Hill. And we have an old friend of Human Rights Radio with us, Michaela Schultz, along with JP and Erica, who are first-time visitors to the show to help us kick off Transgender Awareness Week. Michaela is the president of TransSASC Support Services. JP is currently starting his life over. And Erica is a digital retouching artist and a photographer as well. So, Mona, carry on.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm so excited to be here to talk about Transgender Awareness Week. And I just sort of wanted to refer back to what Jim said about Michaela being an old friend. She's really not that old.
Thank you, Mona.
But you have been a great friend of Human Rights Radio and a great friend of mine.
Yes.
Sort of, we're kind of like sisters. So let's start off with Transgender Awareness Week. This is the second year that we've made note of it. And there's been sort of every year it seems to, explode a little bit more and a little bit more and blossom and become something that's very relevant in our city and in Saskatchewan. And I know that you have been working diligently across the province. You have been
Yes.
visiting towns and visiting with mayors and officials to talk to them about the importance of transgender awareness. And I saw a picture of you with the mayor. Was it the mayor of Moose Jaw?
And mayor
signing
of Moose Jaw,
a proclamation
yeah.
for transgender
Met with him
awareness.
On Tuesday, this
really
past
had,
Tuesday.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Transgender Awareness Week is just what the title implies. It's to bring awareness to the transgender community in Saskatchewan. We've approached all the cities in the province, asking them to proclaim Transgender Awareness Week. Thus far, we got about 10 cities, and I'll list them if you want.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Yes.
The cities that proclaim Transgender Awareness Week is Estevan, Lloydminster, Melfort, Melville, Moose Jaw, Prince Albert, Regina, Saskatoon. City Council of Weyburn has approved Transgender Awareness Week, and Yorkton has also proclaimed it.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting. We're also working towards we're working towards a provincial proclamation as well too. So I haven't heard back from that yet.
So you've applied, is
made
it?
Application for a provincial proclamation.
You expect to hear back on that this year?
Yes, I'm hopeful that we'll hear back maybe in the middle of next week.
That's incredible. Do you know of any other provinces who have done this?
This is something that TransTask has initiated. So, Lloyd ministers both Alberta and Saskatchewan.
True.
So
that would be interesting.
The Alberta trans groups have kind of laid claim or sharing the proclamation. Yes. So that's pretty exciting. And in communication with a lot of trans activists across Canada, I feel that they'll probably pick up on this next year. So that'll be exciting to have a national Transgender Awareness Week.
And in your travels and your conversations with the various mayors and city councils and whatnot in different cities and towns in the province, did you run into any negative responses? Because it sounds pretty positive so far.
Yeah, I've gotten, overall, it's been positive response. The only adversity to it were city councillors, for example, saying, well, we don't see transgender people in our community, so why should we proclaim Transgender Awareness Week? And then I point out to them, well, that's the exact reason for Transgender Awareness Week, to bring awareness to the community, the trans community within your city.
So you're suggesting that every city, every town has transgender people that nobody knows about?
No, wasn't it Lloyd Minister, I think? A couple of people came forward and said that they were...
Lloyd Minister. Lloyd Minister, after proclaiming, there was a news article in their local paper, and I got contacted by 3 trans people as a result of that. So
okay.
It's not bringing awareness to the trans community, but it's also bringing awareness to TransAsk as well.
Right.
2 trans people saying that, hey, we're here to support you, provide you with resources or whatnot.
So you see your organization is that's the major focus, and the reason for it is for the transgender people to find support.
Certainly, that's our number one concern is to support trans people, but also support the loved ones in their lives as well.
Family,
spouses, parents and whatnot, and professionals who serve their needs too.
Right. And what about allies of transgender people?
There's lots of allies. Yes, that's surprising. When I came out, you have a lot of fear that you aren't going to find a lot of support, but I've found a lot of support. Mona, you're one of my biggest allies.
I just existed.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm really glad to hear that there is a lot of support. Do you find any difference in generational ideologies or generational misinformation? I'm thinking of people, I'm close to being an older woman. I'm just trying to figure out, how do I say this?
Yeah.
But I've got a very open attitude, but some people that are more, that are older, I don't know why I'm hedging on this.
Just have it already.
Oftentimes have maybe misinformation, and they're really not sure what transgender means.
That's true.
And they have a bad attitude, and I'm not meaning on purpose, but just have a
just
negative attitude
informed.
Because they're of misinformation.
Yeah.
Do you find that that's different in specific groups, like people
certainly
who are older or maybe more religiously based groups than younger generation or non-religious based groups?
Certainly that's dependent on the information that's accessible to them. Like, people in high school right now who have access to the internet can access a lot more information than someone in their 60s or 70s would have been able to access 50 years ago, right?
Very true.
So there's still some lack of knowledge there. I find supporters of all ages, right? Lots of people are willing to accept other people's because of their differences, no matter what those differences are. And it could be race or ability or, in this case, gender identity.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes.
Jim and I were at an event on Wednesday night here in Regina at First Nations University. And one of the things that we heard there, and I have heard recently, is in terms of, you mentioned race, but quite frankly, a lot of people in this city and in this province are feeling racism. Mm-hmm. And they're feeling it in a stronger context than they have all their lives. This is pretty sad that this is occurring. That, and like you said, we would hope that as time moves on and we have access to the rest of the world, it's the 21st century, that attitudes would be changing and that people would be more accepted no matter, you know, what their differences are. So I'm glad to hear that.
One of the efforts of TransSASC is connecting with other disadvantaged groups, because we do share a lot in common, the discrimination and the lack of knowledge and whatnot. Our struggles in society, the struggles of transgender community in society today is reflected in the struggles of women's suffrage and First Nations and disabled people. And I mean, there's lots of examples mm-hmm. of how society may treat someone who is different than them.
Mm-hmm. The norm stereotype of our society.
Right.
Yeah. Last time you were on the show, we talked a little bit about what your experience has been in your life, and about, you know, and this is a very emotional issue for everyone, for
yes.
everybody. It's
yes.
I know you as Michaela. Mm-hmm. I got to know you as the woman that you are. I don't know you from your past. Yeah. And consequently, I just have no feeling one way or the other, but I know I am aware of the emotion that occurs because we've talked about it, and I see it in you when you talk about your life sometimes. And I'm
you're trying to make me cry.
Did you bring a Kleenex?
It is emotional.
It is. It is very emotional. It's a tough struggle.
Right.
Definitely.
And I think it's one of the emotional issues that I see, that it is being alone in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, consequently, the need for a support group,
yeah.
I think, is a wonderful thing, because I can't imagine going through this all by myself and having nowhere to turn and having those emotions. And, you know, we have two other guests on the show.
Yeah.
We have JP and Erica, who, this is, I believe, a very unique show today and an incredible opportunity to hear some stories from Erica and JP. They're both going through the whole trans, I'm going to use the word issue, even though I don't like it.
The transgender experience?
That's a good way to put it.
Thank you for doing it. Yes, the transgender experience from completely different yet very similar experience perspectives. JP, this is so new for you. Tell us about it.
This is incredibly new. This just all started for me this fall when I decided to go into therapy and try to figure out what was at the root of depression that I've been feeling for most of my life, coming in and out of depression and just not feeling that things were right in my life. And I went into therapy, and I had no idea that this is what was going to come out of that. It was quite a surprise to me how much I had buried in my life. In my subconscious, I had suppressed who I was. And that is a huge basis for a lot of the issues that I've been facing in my life, a lot of the depression, I believe. I was quite scared at the beginning. It's kind of like the Twilight Zone. not many people are familiar, and myself, not familiar with anything to do with transgender people. I'd never met anyone. I had no idea what I was in for, if what I was feeling or thinking was similar to what anyone else was going through. I was just quite surprised. It was actually this radio show in October that I turned on and first heard Michaela and Mona, and felt reassurance, felt there is someone else out there, even in my own community, that is going through this, mm-hmm. that has experienced the things that I'm feeling, and the fears and the just the mystery of it all, trying to come to terms with it. And that was a huge turning point for me, knowing that there was that support out there. It was quite interesting first meeting Michaela. We first talked on Facebook and built a relationship there. And I said to Michaela, I hope that it's okay when we meet that
I don't show anything on my face that, you know, I'm awkward or uncomfortable because I've never met anyone that's transgendered before. And I said, I want you to know that that's just coming from my life experience. That's not coming from me, that, you know, I respect you and appreciate you as a friend. And I need to know that. That you know that this is just coming from a stereotypical reaction, this unknown, right, to meeting someone going through this. And, of course, it was so great to have your support and your friendship that when I met you, it was just natural to give you a big hug. And it was so freeing to feel comfortable with the people in the room, with Erica and Michaela and others there. It was just natural to feel at home with people going through the same thing.
No, you're trying to make me cry.
Way to go,
Jakey.
You know, I think we should get some Kleenex in
here. Yeah, we might need some.
Like my office. I have the crying office.
It's so nice to find that support. I mean, I know exactly what JP's going through, trying to find that other people who have the same experience as him. I mean, I went through all that too.
And when you went through it, did you have any support? Because currently you are the support. Transask is the support, and you created Transask.
Yeah.
So were you alone in this?
Pretty much. I knew before I founded Transask that I knew a couple trans people. But, I mean, everyone's busy in their own lives too, right?
Right.
So it's nice to have that support network of several hundred people now across the whole province, so you always have someone to talk to.
Right. And as with any issue we have in our lives, we are all human, meaning we aren't the same.
No.
We are different, regardless of some of the similarities that we have. And as big as transferring gender, transposing gender is, there's still going to be differences that you may not always have someone who, well, there's an experience I have had or have, and the person you might be talking to might say, sorry, I haven't had that experience.
Well, we're all individual.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, despite us sharing certain experiences,
right.
I mean, we all have our individual characteristics.
Yeah, that's why I appreciate a group, because you're always going to find somebody in the group who's willing to learn about that experience as well, I think. You know, support groups are awesome. I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we can move to Erica. We'll come back and we'll continue this conversation. But right now, just Erica, give us a bit of an idea of what's going on in your life right now.
I was down visiting my girlfriend last October. She came out to me as transgendered. She told me I was the first person she ever told. So she'd never told anyone before in her life, and she was absolutely terrified that, you know, I'd check out and we'd never see each other again or whatever. But at the time, I really didn't know a whole lot about transgender. Like, I knew what it was, but I didn't really understand the whole process or whatever you want to call it. I just kind of sat there for a while after she told me, and she's like, well, what do you think? And I was like, well, you know, I guess that makes me a lesbian then, because, you know, I love you for who you are and not what you are. So
okay.
Yeah, and it's been a bit of a journey, because I went home, because she doesn't live here. I went home and just kind of researched everything I could get my hands on, and came a long way as far as understanding what it's all about, and kind of came to the acceptance that, you know, eventually she'll be a woman or whatever, and found the group. I just searched in Google, actually. I think it was like Transgender Saskatchewan or something,
okay.
And Michaela's group popped up. So I sent her an email, and I was like, hey, you know, is there anything I can do to help? And, yeah, she emailed me back, and that's how I got involved in this, I guess.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So your relationship with this person in your life originally started out with this person being presenting as male.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so... And you make it sound so easy.
No.
Your boyfriend said,
it was absolutely not easy at all. It was really hard. Like, I came home after that trip, and you know, it took a week or so before I like actually fully sunk in. And there was a few days there where I wasn't really sure how I was gonna handle it, and I kind of kept flip flopping back and forth. And I was like, well, you know, I love her as a guy, but you know, she wants to be a girl, and it was very confusing. And at the time, you know, she told me, she's like, you know, if you can't handle this, then I understand. I'll always love you, and I know you'll always love me, and, you know, but I finally came to terms with it, and, you know, it was a really big internal struggle for me, because I'd never really run into anyone like that in my life, so it was a bit hard. I'm not going to in any way say it was easy.
And you were saying earlier that you have told a member of your family, but
yeah,
someone else doesn't.
Two of the
know
members
yet.
Of my family, no, one doesn't. I've been kind of putting off. Mm-hmm. It's hard because, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like for a transgender person to have to come out to their family and friends.
Maybe Michaela could speak.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to add that for family members, spouses, parents, children of trans people, they go through a process of coming out as well as trans people do. I mean, they have to come to terms with being a spouse or a parent of a trans person.
True.
And coming out to their friends and whatnot too. So it's as much of a struggle for the people who love us as it is for us too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah. JP?
I just went through this experience this week and came out to my spouse, and I'm very grateful that I have a very supportive spouse that, you know, didn't freak out and didn't slam the door and didn't say it's over, and was very, very calm and caring and wanting to hear what I was going through. And I said, you know, how much I appreciated the support, but I wanted this person to realize that it's going to take them a while to adjust. It's going to be mm-hmm. changes in their life. It's going to be an identity shift for them as well. They're used to being part of a certain part of society, a certain group. They're used to presenting themselves in a certain way, introducing their spouses a certain way, having certain issues that are part of their daily life that are going to change. And that can be a little scary when you start thinking about how many parts of your life are affected by this.
It is a little scary.
It can be very overwhelming.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And so I said to my spouse that as I feel that I have the need and the right to be selfish and to try to be happy and fulfill this in my world, that my spouse also has that right to be happy and to feel safe and whole. And so if my spouse needs to at any point, I'm understanding if it's too much to walk away or any of those kind of circumstances. Because it's a long process for everyone to mm-hmm. absorb all of this,
mm-hmm.
to deal with the emotions and then to deal with the everyday things that go with it.
Definitely.
And I think the difference between being the person who is going through it and the person who is family or close friend or employer is you're not going through it yourself. You're going through the information you're receiving and how do you deal with that information. And I really appreciate all the factors that you've all included in this. But, you know, we're actually going to play a poem during our break. I would like our listeners, if possible, to, you know, I know you, when we take a break, a lot of times it's time to do something else, but if you could listen to the poem, because it talks about, it's two women who are on stage, and they're playing two roles, and one is the male role, and the other one is the female role. And in the poem, they talk about it since grade four, I think it said since grade four, since I was 10 years old or something like that. I've known I'm James, and I've known I'm this person, and we are one, sort of. And I thought about that when I heard this poem, that for you, JP, and for you, Michaela, is a totally different issue because you have been who you are for as long as you can remember.
I mean, yeah, I've always been a girl. It's,
right, inside, yeah. And psychologically, emotionally, you've always been a girl. And, you know, JP talked about going for counseling. She talked about years of depression.
You mean he?
Thank you. This is new for all of
yeah.
us here. Thank
it's
you.
Very new.
Yeah, and you talked about years of depression, and that you, I, if you don't mind, if you could talk a little bit about how this occurred in the counseling, and, because you mentioned that it really hadn't occurred to you, but you must have known all these years. Something was not right, right? How did you get to that point where you realized this is what the problem has been?
I'm not sure that I can explain that.
Okay.
It's kind of a blur now. When you're in a counseling session, things get very emotional, and
yeah.
you talk about a lot of things, and I know often I leave quite weak-kneed, and and drained, and it takes a few days to kind of absorb what happened in the session.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, it was trying to figure out what I want out of my life is how we started the conversation, because I, you know, left a long-term job, reevaluating everything, trying, you know, to figure out where I fit, what was going to make me happy, what's going to be a healthy choice for me as far as a career. And all of this self-exploration started leading to looking back on my life, mm-hmm. and talking about things that I had wanted previously, things that I had felt, and problems that I was having with friendships, with my marriage, all these kinds of things. And it just slowly built into, oh, I think we're dealing with this. And then as soon as that came to the surface, everything sort of exploded like a volcano, and all this stuff started coming every day, more and more to the surface. Memories, things that I had felt.
Hindsight.
Everything
that started making sense now.
Exactly. You start connecting the dots and going, that's why that happened. That's why I felt that.
It is a process like that. I get asked a lot, at what point did you realize you were a girl? And it's a process. I mean, there isn't one specific point in time. It's like, ding, oh yeah. You know, it's you got to discover yourself, right?
Yeah, that process, for anybody in life, there's processes to discovering who you are.
Certainly.
This just happens to be huge.
Really huge.
And okay, we have a minute left, so I'll let you finish off until we come back from the break with what you wanted to finish saying.
As scary as it was and as foreign as it was also very exciting, because when you go into counseling, you're looking for that answer. And even though this might not be the answer for everything in my life, this is huge. And it's exciting to be able to think that this might help me. This might make me a happy person when I deal with this, when I follow through with this. And that I wanted to tell everyone, you know. And it's something you can't just blurt out to everyone.
Yeah.
And poor Mona got it by email.
Yeah, it was like, fun. Yeah, no, it was fun. I was very honored that you trusted me to tell me that. Extremely honored. So, you know, for those of you out there, in the last 20 seconds, if someone comes to you and tells you something like this, it's an honor that you have
Absolutely.
That trust from that person. We're going to go into the break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, now we're going to give a poem here that we got off the internet, off YouTube, and it consists of two performers who are sort of...
Oh, you don't know the name of it.
No.
Okay, it's called Here. Michaela, do you know? It's H-I-R, which is a combination of his and hers,
It's a new pronoun that's been adopted, a gender-neutral pronoun, and it replaces him and her.
Right.
It's spelled H-I-R, like
right.
you said.
Yeah.
And it's two individuals representing two personas of one person. A male persona and the female persona, and it's very powerful.
And it's a very powerful poem, and we wanted to play it for you. And if you want to find it, you can find it on YouTube and just type in H-I-R, because part of the poem gets a little frantic, so you might have a difficult time understanding it, but this is very worthwhile listening to.
Okay, here it is.
Melissa sits in the back of the classroom, afraid to speak up. She pulls awkwardly at her extra loose khaki cargo pants. She doesn't want the boys to notice her. James finds himself in the back of the classroom. His baseball cap casts a shadow on his pimple-stained forehead. A wide shirt hangs on his broad shoulders. But no one ever noticed him. Melissa, the teacher asks. And she says nothing because she is not here, and Melissa has never been here, because Melissa is just some abstract jumble of syllables that doesn't fit her position. She's not what she seems. She doesn't want to have to explain to her mother for the 232nd time why she doesn't want to wear a dress to prom. Doesn't paint her face, it's because the whole body's painted on. Melissa, Melissa. James is a one to have to explain where he came from. Because with the exception of Melissa, he has been deemed an abstract reality by everyone. All he wishes for is to get to wear a tuxedo to prom. And Melissa has been tugging at breasts steadily growing for 3 years now. Been using duct tape to press them down and mold them more into pecs. She just wishes that people would understand that at birth, her genitals didn't know which way to grow. Mad at God who couldn't relay the message directly to her hormones that they should produce more testosterone. The only person who understands her is James. And they've been playmates since the age of 4, around the time girls notice.
we're back on Human Rights Radio. And, you know, we can take that human right. It's a human right to be the person that you're meant to be. And so many of us never get to that point where we can be the person we're meant to be, or the struggle takes so long, oftentimes to even realize who we're supposed to be. I work with a lot of young people in my job, and it takes trials and tribulations and life experience and meeting other people and a lot of self-introspection to really come to a point where you can understand who you really are and why we're here. And it is a human right to be able to be that person that you're supposed to be.
It's the process of self-discovery, and yeah, having the opportunity to express who you are.
Right, absolutely. I mean,
without any adversity and discrimination, oppression even.
Exactly. And for those who weren't here at the top of the break, this is Transgender Awareness Week. Next Sunday, we will be doing a ceremony in front of the legislature.
Next Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Oh, no. I have a shorter time.
I can tell you about
speech.
The event if you like.
Yeah.
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow on Saturday at the legislature. And I thought about this because you had asked me as a person who works with Amnesty International and so passionate about human rights, that maybe say a few words. And that, all of a sudden it hit me, this is all I really need to talk about, is the human right of being who you are.
Definitely.
Of being allowed to be who you are by those in a position of power over. So go ahead and tell us about the event.
All Transgender Awareness Week, next week. It's from the 25th to the 31st. There's several events around the province, Prince Albert, Saskatoon, here in Regina. One in particular we're proud of is next Saturday, the 31st, we're having a Transgender Day of Visibility rally in front of the legislative building in Regina here. We have several guest speakers, and all the fun starts at 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Okay.
And it will be fun.
Guaranteed to be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be there.
Don't miss
up. I hope so. You're a speaker, Mona.
Yeah.
I'm excited about doing this because it's a way that I, as a non-transgender person, can fully support the people who trust me, my friends, my acquaintances, the people I've met in my life. It's important to me to be able to support other people in their growth and their experiences and their adventures in their lives.
So Transgender Awareness Week doesn't just bring awareness to the transgender community, or how I should phrase that is the transgender community consists of more than just transgender people.
Yeah.
It consists of our family and our allies and everyone who supports us.
Right.
So yes, I mean, as an ally, it's very important for our allies to be there for us.
I oftentimes think about a poem that many of the listeners might know of that was written after the Holocaust, and the wording in it talks about how, I was this type of person, and when the Nazis came for me, no one was there to protect me, and then I was that kind of person, and when they came for those kind of people, no one was there to protect me.
I think I've heard that one.
Yeah, and I love that poem, and I'd like to read it sometime.
I have to make reference in my teachings that the transgender experience, as we phrased it earlier, is a life experience. I mean, every person goes through a transitional phase of some sort, So,
as being who you are.
Exactly.
So, being who you are, that can possibly cause you, you mentioned terminology earlier about oppression, discrimination.
Yes.
How easy is it to find a job? If you haven't got a job and you're visibly transgender, how easy is it to find a job?
Definitely. I mean, the jobless rates are off the scale for the transgender community. Homeless rates, I mean, everything. Yeah. Every social plague that affects society is higher when you're considering the transgender community.
Wow.
Every social concern that plagues society.
Yeah.
That's the wording I was looking for.
I'd like to go back a little bit and talk about something that Erica brought up earlier, and that was the fact that when her partner told her about the concept of transgender, mm-hmm. being male to female,
yep.
transgender person, how difficult it was for you and how you felt that there was people in your family you're not ready to talk to about it yet.
Yeah, well, it's not that I'm not ready. I just okay. can't work up the courage to do it. I'm a bit of a chicken.
That
so.
Might be the same thing.
I guess so, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, like I said earlier, my girlfriend and I were out for supper with two of my family members when mm-hmm. she was here, and we kind of had this little, because me and her, we kind of can talk to each other without really saying anything, like as most yeah. couples can. So it was kind of like, you know, we were having this little internal conversation between the two of us, and I was like, no, it's okay, go ahead, because we'd been talking about her telling my family while she was up, so
right.
So she went ahead and told my mom and my sister, and my sister, I don't really know how she took it. She just kind of, she's a very quiet person when she has some new news to digest, so she kind of just sat mm-hmm. there, but my mom, she kind of took a few minutes to think about it, and she's like, okay, well, I guess, you know, I don't really know what she thought right offhand, but mm-hmm. she seemed like she'd come to terms with it, and I think she has. Like, we haven't really discussed it, unfortunately, but, you know, I think in the future sometime she'll be completely okay with it. Mm-hmm. Right now I think she's just kind of on the fence because she doesn't really understand everything to do with mm-hmm. transgender people, which is
right.
why Transgender
maybe
Awareness
Week. Maybe
she's
Googling like you did.
Yeah, maybe. But,
thank goodness
yeah.
for social media.
But that's why Transgender Week is so important, because, mm-hmm. you know, it brings awareness to the community, mm-hmm. You know, bringing the issues to the surface and just letting everyone know, you know, what it's about. And because, like I said earlier, I had no idea really 6 months ago what any of this was. So I've come
right.
a long way.
Yeah. I may be completely wrong, but I have a suspicion that it's a little bit easier for people to hear this, even without understanding all the aspects of it, than it was even 20 years ago. That there is more acceptance today than there was when someone sort of comes out.
Yeah, that from what I've read, it kind of seems like that's the case. I don't know, from my perspective.
Well, I mean, the awareness in general, I mean, all across the globe is growing, awareness of the trans mm-hmm. community. I mean, you see documentaries on TV all the time, news articles and whatnot, so...
It's not always positive, though, is it?
No.
There are countries where you can be put to death.
There's some very negative aspects to yeah. and statistics and stuff, but, I mean, Transgender Awareness Week is... a happy week. I mean, it's
yes,
an opportunity to
yeah.
inspire, inform, and
yeah.
educate society about
right.
the challenges we face and celebrate
mm-hmm.
the transgender experience, to celebrate the lives of transgender people and transsexual individuals.
Is there a difference?
Oh.
Okay.
<Good question. laughs>
Well, and I asked that deliberately because that is part of that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely,
yeah.
definitely.
Because at one time, I have a friend who, we were just discussing this and discussing what's going to be happening next Saturday, the legislature, and from his perspective, you know, he used the term transsexual, and I thought, well, yes, because this is what we used to use, the term used to be used, but now it's transgender.
Well, transsexual as a term is a, it's a medical term to describe
okay.
someone who identifies in the sex opposite to that which was assigned at birth. Transgender has become a more general term to describe anyone who challenges our traditional ideals of what gender's supposed to be. And that can be something as simple as dressing in the clothes of the opposite gender or whatnot. So
okay.
there is some differences there, and there's transgender in its common usage as an umbrella term, the tendency is to include transsexual under that umbrella term as well, though there's challenges to that.
I was going to say, so understanding the concepts of gender and sex, sexuality, this is not easy for anyone. JP's sitting here shaking
yeah.
her head like,
his
no,
head.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And getting used to the pronoun usage, too.
Yeah. That's definitely been a big
challenge. No, this has been really difficult for me. Do you want to care to fill us in on that head shape? I mean, how difficult has this been as part of the transition, the gender part of it?
It's been extremely difficult because it gets very complicated. There's so many new views on it, new evolving views on it, new ways of defining it, new terminology, new groups of people that are forming and having a specific,
label.
A label, yeah. And they feel that they have enough in common that they're a separate group again from what we're already familiar with. So you get all these new terms, new groups, and you get the contradictions. You get people that are challenging the terminology. And like Erica said, you went and you researched a whole bunch of stuff. Well, I did the same thing. I spent weeks on the internet reading everything I could.
Making your eyes tired.
And I just got very overwhelmed at how many differences there are out there in the world, and it doesn't just come down to this category and this category. And no, it's a full spectrum of people out there dealing with issues regarding gender and sexuality. And I think that the key for me was understanding that and realizing that, okay, it isn't about checking a box and saying, okay, I fit into this box. It's about exploring who you are as an individual, what it means in your life, how it fits for you, and then being open to other people and the variety, and understanding that if we don't want to be judged, we have to be open to other people, and the full gamut is out there.
And sometimes there isn't even a label that'll fit your identity, too. I mean, I know several individuals who say, I feel this way, I express myself this way, and whatnot, and, I mean, there isn't a label or a category or whatever you want to call it that's been invented to describe them. Yeah,
that should be part of our human failing, is that we always have to have a descriptor, a little box to tick off.
Yeah, either black or white.
Yes.
Male or female.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I meant. You know,
it's one diversity, way or the other. That diversity within the transgender community points to the to the spectrum that JP alluded to, that there isn't just the two, that binary of male or female, that gender is that spectrum, that you can fall anywhere on there.
Humanity itself is such a spectrum. What do you say to people who would respond to this show, to this information, with the with a response of, well, you're probably just fine as a human being, but it's a lifestyle that you've chosen. I don't agree with your lifestyle. I don't think it's right. So that's it. That's my feeling. How do you respond to that kind of attitude?
Well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but, you know, transgender people aren't hurting anyone as far as, you know, like if someone that has that opinion, they're not hurting them. Just like, you know, a gay or lesbian person isn't hurting anyone. It's their own choice. Mm-hmm. It's their life. So, you know, just move on and get on with your life, you know? I don't really know how to, you know.
I'll make an allusion to the gay rights movement here in the last few decades. One of the arguments is, why do you have to put it in our face? Why do you have to, I don't know, advertise it so much, right? Why do you need a parade? But it's just an opportunity to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
is it really
a
lifestyle?
It's
my question.
A life. I mean, I suppose there's a style to it, but I mean, it's...
You are pretty stylish, Michaela.
I mean, this is who I am. This is my identity. How I choose to express that is up to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how I express myself, I suppose, is a choice, but who I am inside is who I am. That never was a choice for me.
I suspect that if it was a lifestyle and you couldn't find work, you might make a different choice. If it was a chosen, quote-unquote, lifestyle, I have a problem with that phrase, that word. That if I choose a lifestyle of partying every night, right? And then I'm late for work and I lose my job. I'm going to change my lifestyle if having a job is important to
me. That's completely,
to me, that's what lifestyle is. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, JP, you wanted to say something.
This is the second time that I've been through this in my life. Originally, I came out when I was in college as being a lesbian to my family and friends. And at that point, I had to go through all of this choice discussion. And that's when I realized that I would never choose to hurt my family and friends. I would never choose to put myself in a vulnerable position. I would never choose to be scared, to not know what the future would hold, to not fit into the norm, to be alien on the planet, to be someone that people would look down to, that would treat poorly, that I would be seen as less of a person, that my opinions, my everything would be of less value. And for people facing discrimination, whether it's gay or lesbian or whether it's the transsexual, transgender community, I can't believe that anybody would make that choice. I've sat down in the last few months and made lists of all of the negative things that I was going to have to go through, that I was going to have to be prepared to deal with. And it, you know, I thought, well, I've dealt with that once. You know, there's even more issues here now. The level of violence against transgender people is incredible. The employment factors, the ability to use a public washroom. I mean, there's so many day-to-day details as well as the larger, scarier issues that a person would not consciously choose to face. And I would never choose to put my friends and family through that. This is something that is just real, and it's been documented for decades by scientists, doctors, that it is a real thing, and that without treatment, the suicide rates are incredible.
I had a conversation the other day about privilege with a friend of mine, and I don't think we realize in our society how much gender permeates to the core of society and how it affects every aspect of our society. So for someone who's transgender and transitioning through genders, adopting a new gender expression to align with their gender identity, how that all changes. I mean, your entire environment changes for you, how people address you, how people interact with you, right? How you fill out forms and, I mean, everything. Right. I mean, gender is everywhere. Until you actually experience that, that's that privilege of not knowing that you have to go through that. And like JP said, selecting a bathroom. I mean, most people don't even have to give it a second thought, right?
And it can be dangerous to walk into the wrong bathroom. Whereas for me, it might be embarrassing. And I run out. But I'm not worried about being hurt.
Or being attacked.
I'm not worried about that at all. And I really appreciate this whole concept of our society and gender. And every culture, every society might be a little bit different. But on the whole, we do separate into male, female, gender. And I realized that during our friendship, at one day I said something to you about, well, that's not very girly, you know. And I don't know if you remember that, and you kind of laughed. And I thought, later it hit me. Just because something you said or something you alluded to or something you wore or whatever wasn't my concept of being feminine, it really had nothing to do with who you are.
Right.
And my psychology of the what I understand to be feminine, I really had no right putting that onto you. When I think about raising my daughter, I used to put her in little bows and, you know, ruffles, and I crocheted her roughly little dresses and bonnets and things. She hated it.
I can identify.
Yeah.
You know, and she's not a transgender person.
Yeah.
You know, she's fully straight female, but she hates bows.
Well, everyone has their own.
So everybody is different. And we have these societally driven concepts of what's feminine, what's masculine. And we all fall somewhere in the middle, in that spectrum. And it's just understanding that we all expect acceptance. We would like to be accepted no matter where we fall in that spectrum. That I believe is the most important thing. So as an ally, as your big sister, and, you know, as a friend, I would like to know that whatever that is, whatever your needs are as a human being, that I can be there for you to listen, to maybe offer advice that you might throw back at me and say, no, I don't like Bozer. I mean, I'm being a bit facetious here, but that, I feel, is my role, and I'm not sure how you feel, Erica, because, you know, you're sort of, you're in the middle of this as well, mm-hmm. as being an ally plus the partner of yeah. someone who's come out.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's been kind of hard because, you know, trying to get used to calling my partner as the correct pronouns is mm-hmm. kind of a recent thing. I've slipped up a few times to my friends, and they've all been nice enough to correct me because I'm trying to get used to it. Because she's not out to all of her friends back mm-hmm. home, so it's hard for me to try to remember who knows and who doesn't know, and trying to make sure I don't slip up and out her by accident, because that's the last thing I want to do.
There's that protective mechanism mm-hmm. that kicks in as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I feel that too, you know, about protecting people I care about.
Mm-hmm. And like what we were talking about earlier with, like, you know, all the transgender violence and stuff, mm-hmm. that terrifies me to think that my partner or any of my other transgender friends may have to go mm-hmm. through that at some point. And that terrifies me that, you know, that is an actual problem.
Right.
You know, I don't want to have to go through that, and I don't want any of my friends or family to have to go through that either. It's not right.
And she's far away from you. She's
yeah, exactly, right yeah. Now, so that, we live like 3,000 kilometers away, so.
Yeah, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
JP, you were going to add to that.
For me, the hardest part is trying to protect my mother. Because
okay.
it was so difficult for her to accept me being gay and going through that whole process, being a religious person and everything. And now, if I have to go through this again, I'm really worried about her.
We have 1 minute left.
Oh, drat.
Maybe I'll just throw in how you can contact TransSAS Support Services
yes.
if you want more information, or if you're questioning your gender identity yourself. You can find our website at www.transask, that's one word, TransSask.org, or you can email us at info@transask.org, and you can find us on Facebook or Twitter and YouTube and everywhere.
Yes, thank you all, this has been a fantastic show.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next Saturday at the legislature at 3:00.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mona.
Thanks.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."